Thank you. calendar.
I'm taking care.
So, and what is the argument? He's saying that he's instead of saying that it's a chiddush by bayin. What is Rav Chiya say? Rav Chiya said he needs both pesukim because bayin is a chiddush. That's ready. We don't need both pesukim. Why do you need both pesukim? We need both. Why do we need both pesukim? Not because of chiddush, but because tumas haguf is a strong form of tumah, and so I would have thought that you can't go away. So instead of focusing on the house, saying the house is a chiddush, so we're focusing on the person and saying, that the tuma of our body is such a strong form of tuma that maybe we would think that the kohen can't play. What's the difference between the two? I mean, they're splitting hairs. One is just saying the bias is the chiddush, and the other one is saying that that person is a strong form of tuma. But that's essentially the same thing. So is in fact really ultimately just being way that there are chiddush that you need both psukim,
or maybe he means that you need two psukim to allow the tuma sagus, which is so strong.
No, no, you don't need two psukim. You have the pasuk. The pasuk from Ubiyem is Rebbe saying that you can learn out that it's sufficient. He's just saying that you won't be able to learn out necessarily from Uval Lakayim, but that's what he said earlier. Oh my. Yesh yem shateroyevoy, yesh yem shiyadaroyevoy. There are days, what we say, that there are days that you see, that you examine, and days that you don't examine. My mashma. We said of yem hadarayes. How do you get that from the words of yem hadarayes?
Oh, there are days where you examine and days you don't.
Yes, but The Gemara is going to ask, okay, what does that mean?
What's the derivative?
What else would the pasuk say that it would just mean that you examine the negative?
I mean, there's no other way possible.
Not that there's no other way, but why do you think that this necessarily means that there are days when you examine and days when you don't examine? Rabbi said that you must learn something out from this, because in Cain, if so, lichtev rachman of biyoyim, it should just say the word biyoyim. Instead, the pasuk says uvayim, the extra vav. God says uvayim in that day. That's extra vav. So we learn out in that day that is a day that we're examining, but there are days that we're not going to. Why uvayim? Why does it say uvayim? Shmami, no, from here we learn out from the extra vav that there are days that you're not going to examine.
And without this vav?
Without this vav, we would just say biyim adarayis. We would just say that it means on the day that you examine. There's nothing more to learn out. Not that there are days that you examine and days that you don't. But this is not the only opinion. This is a fight. Shmami, no, yeshem shatarei, but yeshem shikat. Rava amar, so Rava, who always argues with Abaya, says, the whole word of the yom is extra. It should just say, when you examine, why is it on the day that you examine? When you examine.
No, bigger in moments to say you can only examine by day.
Well, that's later on. Let's turn that cap over here. But right now, we're saying it shouldn't say the word day.
Yes, yom.
No, just saying by right. And when the client comes to see, why is it saying the day that the client comes to see? When the client comes to see, by uvayim, what does it mean in the day? Shema, I mean, no, yeshiyem shatayim, yeshiyem shatayim. So Abaye says he learned it out from the vav of uvayim, and Rava says he learned it out from the entire word uvayim. And said there was a guy. He opened this fish store. He put up a sign. He calls the sign maker. Winemaker, I want to put up a sign. Just said, fresh fish sold here daily. All of a sudden, okay, no problem, but you should know that it's $100 a letter. Said, you know what? Fresh fish sold here daily, I don't need the word here. Fresh fish is sold daily, obviously it's here with the sign. And then, you know what? I don't need the word daily. I'll see the store is open. Fresh fish, so. He says, you know what? It's clear there's fish in the window that we're selling fish. I don't need the word fresh. Just the fresh.
Oh, you don't need the word.
Yes, I need the word fresh because if it wasn't fresh, they would smell the spoiled fish, so I don't need a sign altogether. Here it was saying, you don't need the word vayayim altogether.
That's a good one. I like that.
So the Gemara says, Abaye, so now Abaye has to answer for why we need the word Bayayim. Abaye says we need the word Bayayim, and we just don't need the letter Vav. Rava says we don't need the word Uvayim altogether. But why does Abaye need the word Vayayim? Why can't it just say Ubahares? So he says, to tell us that the Kohen can only examine during the day and not at night. So now the Gemara says, okay, but Rava presumably is not arguing with Abaye that you have to examine during the day and not at night. So how would Rava learn it out? If the word Vayayim was altogether absent from the Pasuk, how would he know this rule that Vayayim v'lei v'lei? How would you know it? So the Gemara answers, Nachgalei, he would learn it out, Nilechol, Made, Enei, HaKoyin, from whatever the Koyin sees. So when does the Koyin see something? When something visible to the Koyin? During the day, at night is not visible, and so it has to be completely visible to the Koyin, and it's only completely visible during the day, not at night. I didn't have it actually. And so, Nilechol, Made, Enei, HaKoyin, we learn it out, so we don't need the word Uvayim. So now the question is, so why can Abaye learn it out from Uchal Mare Eni Akrein? And he says, no, you have to learn now the Yom Ulei Valayla from Abayim, and therefore only the Vav is extra. But Abaye, whom the Abaye Leila, would they so much? It says, from the Pasuk, Uchal Mare Eni Akrein, we learn that a Summa is excluded from a blind person, who's obviously somebody who's completely blind, can't examine Amara. But somebody who's blind in one eye, and what is someone who's blind in one eye, is excluded from examining the neg. So therefore, the Paschim of Chalmari Ene is used for a Koyim to presume a Me'achasveino, and therefore we need Bayoyim, Ubayoyim, or Bayoyim to teach us that the Yoyim Balei Ba'ayla, so the only thing that's extra is the Vav. Meantime, Rava learned that from Bayoyim, from the Chomari Eni Akoyim, he learned that the Yoyim Balei Ba'ayla, so Ubayoyim is completely extra. So now, but how does Rava now? Now we need to know, how does Rava know that some of the Achmeino is possible? And so we say that Rava Taka also needed the Pasuk of Chomari Eni Akoyim for this to be Mamayit of Summa Bachmeina. But Rabbi Nami, by the way,
what he's using.
So Rabbi presumably this is Marat, is Mechanami. He needs it for that. So we have a problem now. So how does Rabbi say that the whole word Uvayoin is extra? So if so, how does he know the Yom Yom Yom, since he uses the whole word of Ayoyim for the lesson that days that you see and days that you don't see, and we use the topic of Chol Mari Eni Akoyim, so we use for to teach us that some of Machzeinu. So how do we know the Yom 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 according to Rava? So not Galei, so he learns it out from a dip to yet another pasuk, a third pasuk. So there's a pasuk that says, Kenega Nidali Bavayim. The Yisrael comes to the Koyim and he says, what appears to me to be a nega I have seen in my house. So he has to be that the person is saying it, lead to me, it appears to me unaided. Yeah, I can see with my unaided naked eye, I can see that what appears to me to be a nega. So when he's coming to the Koyin, he's saying, I didn't need any aid. So leave a leilo aidi. I didn't need to have a fire next to me in order to see this thing that appears to me to be a nega. So since he's coming to the Koyin during the day, we have now a pasuk to teach us, and now the whole word Uvayoyim is extra according to us. Now the question is, okay, so now Abaye. Why didn't Abaye learn out from Kenegan Italy of Abaye? So Abaye in Mahasam, if it would only say the pasuk Kenegan Italy of Abaye, Salamina, I mean, really, Tumidilah, the Gufe, Afilula, Eden, Nami, Kamash, no law. So I would have thought that that's going to buy a house, which is not a tuma of the Gufe, but Toma the Gulf, so you can use even a fire. So therefore we need to have two psukim, one for the house and one for the person. Now we're all set. Rabbi doesn't say you need two psukim. Rabbi says you need two psukim.
One for the goof and one for the vice.
Yes. So now
Mishnah.
Va'oid amar meyed. Now before this Mishnah doesn't really have any connection to the prior Mishnah. The only connection is that earlier in the last Mishnah, Rameir was the one who was Mako, he was the one who gave a lenient opinion on about Chalamoid, and here we're gonna have another lenient opinion by Rameir about Chalamoid. In addition, Rameir said, Malakit Adam Achmis Avi Ime. A person is allowed to collect the bones for reburial of his parents because it is ultimately a simcha. The Gemara is going to ask about this, but don't ask. It is a period of mourning for him, and so it is forbidden to do something that's going to cause an anguish on the moyed, and so he is not allowed to rebury his parents' bones on Holomoid. Then the commission continues, Lo yo'ered adam al nesai, a person should not be ma'oyered about his deceased, alay sedenov, and he may not say a hesped, a eulogy, koydim ledegel, before the Yom Kippur Shleishim Yom, ready for the 30-day period prior to Yom Kippur. You're ready, must refrain from eulogizing and being ma'oyder. The Gemara is going to talk about what it means to be ma'oyder. So, v'dimini. So the Gemara asks, v'dimini, the Gemara asks the question. We learn, Hamalakif atzmis avi imei, if somebody collects the bones of his father or his mother, harayta mis'abel aleim kalayeh, he has to mourn over them the entire day. But at night in the Sabbath, he no longer is required to have a veilus over them. So he has to sit during that day, Tol Shkia, he has to sit on the floor, he has to take off the shoes, wine, etc., all the things that he would do during Shiva, he has to do on this day that he reburies. In any event, what we see is, it's a Eidah. Ma'amar Achista, and Achista said, I feel it's certain in love, this, you know, even if the bones are wrapped up in a cloth, in such a case, the same rule applies. Now, what rule applies to that is unclear, and the Rishonim disagree over what the meaning is. So, some say that...
What does it mean?
The bones before burial, if they're wrapped up, we say that even if the bones are wrapped up in a cloth, the same rule applies. What rule applies? We didn't say the same rule.
But it has to be buried in the same day?
No, we didn't say it has to be buried in the same day. We just said he has to be misabel during the same day, and at evening time, he no longer has to be misabel. So when it's wrapped up and it's not yet buried,
we're not sure exactly.
Does it mean that he doesn't have to be in Misabel because it's already wrapped up? Or does it mean that he does have to be in Misabel even though it's only wrapped, even though it's wrapped up? And so it's sort of like reburied, he still has to be in Misabel. Which is it what are we saying? Are we saying a kula or are we saying a chumra? So some say it's a kula, some say it's a chumra, and there's other opinions. Basically, the two sheets are, one is that it's saying that if for some odd reason he dug up his bones, then was unable to bury them that day, and he wrapped them up, so come evening time, he doesn't have to be misabel. And others say no. So if he has to be misabel, so long as the bones are not reburied, even if they're wrapped up in the cloth, because in fact they are not reburied.
I thought you had her answers.
There are certain instances where you can rebury somebody. So if, for example, there's vandalism, that you rebury. Also,
even bones are taken out of the
grave. They rebury them from one graveyard to the other. For example, the grub. They paved over the cemetery in Vilna,
and before they paved over, they crossed over, I think they paved over, so they came in at night. They removed, they moved the Bra and Tzedek and a few others, and they buried in the new cemetery. But they had no choice there. So there's instances where you have no choice. Also, in the time of Tanakh, even afterwards, we find this in Tanakh, we find Sukkim that suggest that that say that you'll be buried with the bones of your ancestors. But some say that what the custom then was that they would bury first in a temporary grave, and it was then always on condition that they were going to remove the body. And after the body decayed and there was only the bones left, then they would rebury the bones in the cemetery next to their ancestors.
In the time of the missionaries.
This was in the time of Nabeen, and it may have continued on even in
that's
the time
when they
put them
in ossuaries and boxes together.
So this study, for whatever reason, he's moving it and he wants to move it on Moyed, so Rameir says that he could do it, and Rabbi Yeshu says he may not do it on Chalom Moyed. And so, anyway, what we have so far is that it seems like it's a Avel. So how is it that Rameir would say that you're allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed? So Abaya says, Ema l'seinu mishesimcha tzadeh d'lolo. Since the simcha of the negel is on him, it overrides the feelings of sadness, and so he doesn't really have that. So what happens is that even though halachically it's a day of mourning, but since he's doing it on Chol HaMoed, and Chol HaMoed is a day of joy, so it's not a day of true sadness. It's a day that a person moves the bodies to the body of his parents to the bones to the ancestral cemetery plot is a day that it's a mixed emotions. It's not the day that the parents died, but the day of death. So the day where, in fact, he's moving them to the ancestral plot. So in a way, it's a day of satisfaction. It's also a day of sadness because it's a day of reflection, it's a day of remembrance, it's a day that he's moving to his parents' body. So he's thinking about it. So there's sadness there too, but there's a mixed emotion. So halachically, he has to sit in Avelus that day, not a full 7 days, but that's one day of Avelus. But it's not true sadness. So when it comes to Moed, and there's a Yantiv involved, so Chalamoid, you have to sit in Chalamoid. So it pushes away the feelings of sadness, and so all you have is the feelings of the joy for the Moed, and the satisfaction is moving his parents to the ancestral plot. And so Ramirez says it's okay. So Rabbi Yeshu says, well, dig up some of his parents and in the bones, inevitably there's going to be sadness.
Of course.
So that's the argument between Meir and Rabbi Yehuda.
What's the halacha?
So the halacha is it's Avel Vuloy, and I think that you
don't do it now. You cannot do it in that moment. In his laundry class.
Vuloy Arer Al Nesoy. And it shouldn't be Ma'arer Al Nesoy. For 30 days before, you cannot eulogize and can't be Ma'arer. So the Gemara asks, what is it? My lo ya'ar, what does that mean, lo ya'ar? Al Nesoy. So Amarav, Kadhodar, Safina, Bamarava, like those that eulogize in Eretz Yisrael, Amri, they say, Yiftun, Imi, Kol, Meliri, Liva. Fly with me all those embittered souls. In other words, a hesed is where you're directly talking about the deceased. So you're eulogizing the deceased. You're saying things about the deceased that cause people to be sad at the loss of the deceased. Here, by ya'arer, means just to evoke feelings of sadness, just general feelings of sadness. It says, whoever is an embittered soul, come listen to me and cry your heart out.
kad hadar sartena
like the way those who eulogize in Eretz Yisrael, Ami, they say, Yitzkun, Ine, they cry with them, Kol Meriri Liba, all those who are embittered soul.
But if it's not to that extent, then maybe it's permitted? That
No, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to do this either. Don't start saying, okay, I'm not going to speak specifically about the maze, but we'll just talk about feelings of sadness 30 days before the Yom Tov. Now the mission is continued. This rule applies 30 days before Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks, my shalishim, and why 30 days? 30 days already before Yom Tov, we don't want feelings of sadness. Who cares to be sad 30 days before Yom Tov? So I'm Rav Kana, or Kana says, I'm Rav Yehuda, in the name of Yehuda, I'm a Rav, in the name of Rav. This came about because of a story. Sometimes there's some odd stories that caused the Chachamim to just decree things. And strange as it sounds, that's what they did. So Amar Yehudam Arav, Ma'isub Adam, there was a story about a person, about the Mechad, one person, Shepinis Moit Lamis Ledego. He set aside money to the Oilo Ledego. He went to the Beis HaMikdash, Aliyo Ledego, the young kid. Close past them, came a eulogizer, Ma'amad al Pesach Beisai, and knocked on his father's door and stood there, Natalton Ishtai, and he stood there and he said a eulogy, and he said a beautiful eulogy, and Natalton Ishtai, and so his wife, this man who had set aside money to go up to Palio Ledego, came to Sachton, and he said a beautiful eulogy, so the wife took his Zekel of Geld, and she gave it to him, and also like the Nimna, and so he refrained from like Allah, and he didn't go off on the other day. But at least Shah, at that moment, they said, the person should be Meir al Hamez, or be Matzid al Hamez 30 days before a Yom Kippur. In other words, it wasn't just only because they realized that sometimes what's going to happen is you have to pay the masjid, and people need money, and sometimes a lot of money for Yom Tov, and so we don't want people to take away the money that they've set aside for Yom Tov to pay a masjid 30 days, and 30 days already for Yom Tov, you start preparing for Yom Tov. You start buying masjids for Pesach, you start buying your wine, you get a filter fish, you know, you're putting away money for a little bit of an ashtray. So it's not just all the little ergo. There's money, there's a lot of money that's needed for Yom Tov. And so we say, 30 days before, that refrain case from hire. Now, of course, we're not talking about a case where we're standing at a Levite. We're talking about just somebody coming around, who goes around and for a living, and he is master people and they pay him. We say 30 days before already, you don't pay it. Shmuel Amar, so Shmuel says a different reason. It's not because of the money. This is not a financial question. This is a Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says,
the Shemesh.
Since the Mace is not Mishlakech Min Alev, for 30 days. So if somebody has come and he says a half day for the next 30 days, it doesn't feel sad. He has feelings of sadness, of longing, of
solitude and all that.
So he's not going to be Sameach on Yom Tov. So we say already 30 days before. Stop. Not because we care that you're sad 30 days before, but because we feel that those feelings of loss will remain with him over Yom Tov. Once it's revoked, it remains with him for 30 days. But now the question is, what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel? Rav said that it was a financial question. And Shmuel said it's because so the Gemara answers, what happens if there's a hesped and somebody's willing to be masked for free? So according to Rav, that would be fine because we're only interested in questions of money. Shmuel says, no, this is about the person is still going to be sad on Yom Tov. So, one may not dig kuchin and kvades on money. The Gemara is going to talk about what's kuchin and kvades. They're burial plots. But exactly what kind of burial plots they are, we will talk about in the Gemara. You can't dig them on Chol HaMoed. So now we'll also talk about in the Gemara whether we're talking about where somebody died or we're talking about where somebody didn't die and they're just digging Kochin in the Kvarit in anticipation of people dying. Now there's a halacha, just so you know, that you're not allowed to dig a grave for someone who's imminently about to die because it's al-asaf, and it creates the situation or shows an anticipation of someone dying that you don't want to show. So if somebody is imminently about to die, you're not allowed to dig graves, you're not allowed to prepare tachrichim, you're not allowed to prepare an arim, etc. So here maybe talking about where either one of two instances. One is the more likely instance is that they just appear burial plots for whoever dies at any time. So then it's not being dug for any specific person, it's just being dug in preparation of the eventuality that somebody dies. Another possibility that is a big chiddush, so not that good, but some say that what it's talking about over here is someone who's not going to be about it. Someone who is in a figure of health, you know, he's in perfect health, and he says, I want to fly a burial plot for when the day comes. But he's not going to be about to die, so it's not, there's no reason for it to appear like they're hoping for his death or etc. So you're not allowed to dig kuchin akvaris on moyit, but you can resize a kuchin on moyit.
What's a kuchin?
We're going to learn this in the art. But it's a type of a burial plot. That's all. Va'oizin nibreches on moyit. And one can make a pool on Chol HaMoed. So now it seems a bit odd because if you look at the whole Mishnah, the whole Mishnah is talking about burying. About dead people. So how does a pool fall in over here? So some say that what we're talking about over here is that nivreches means that you can make a pool for a morgue where you're going to wash the body or you're going to wash the clothes for the tachrichin. It's for purposes of, we're talking about making a pool or a mikvah for the mace. We're not talking about making just an ordinary pool.
Well, so, you do a pool for mace.
So they tie over the mace, or
how does it sound?
That's what they do with the mace. But he's too much on it. It's for other tumors. That's the way it is.
So the big tumor, and they're making the turbulent.
Mo'oizin nevreches v'mo'yeh. For example, we find, it's not exactly so, we find that Tumor looks at the tibor, that if everybody is on the mace, they come into the Karban Pesach, but that still would preclude, that would still preclude somebody who has other types of things. So if
right.
We have clients where
a
person could be Tommy Le Mace, and the mace is Tommy Le Mace, but we find an instance, at least, where a Tamei Lemeis is less Tamei for purposes of Karn Pesach than someone who has other texts.
That's it. Which one?
So let's say the person is Thomas
Carey,
Thomas Shadet. Could be a lot of them.
That's just for Karn Pesach.
The Karn Pesach, but the point is that they're...
That's
there's different types of Toma, and so
that's
Toma,
a person, that's not a man.
This is not going to turn him into a tahar. This is because he's about to meet his maker, and just like people, you daven, people go to the mikveh before they meet their maker and give it in the cheshvan, they go to the mikveh. So, or either the mikveh or kishakavim, or preferably kishakavim. But the bottom line is you need water for a maker, and they may be talking about washing the clothes for the tachrich. And one can make a pool on Chol HaMoed Ba'arim, and you can make the arim provided in a mace b'chaser. If the deceased is in b'chaser,
So then you can make the argument. Because otherwise we're afraid that if somebody sees or his neighbor pulling out lumber and his saw and his hammers and his knocking things, he's going to think he's doing construction on Chol HaMoed. So because of Maris Ayin, he's not allowed to make the argument except in the presence of the mace, because anyone who will
see the mace.
Pass by will see the mace and will understand he's making an aron for the mace.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda Oyser, Rabbi Yehuda says it's also to make a aron altogether, unless he already has prepared boards. If he doesn't have prepared boards, he would have to bury without an aron. So basically what happens is you can build, Rabbi Yehuda says you can build an aron on Chol HaMoed. What you can't do is start taking raw wood and planing it into boards. You can't chop down trees, start creating boards from which to make an aron. If you already have prepared planks, you can make an aron. Presumably, he agrees.
Nisari
means planks. So he has to have planks. If he doesn't
ready
prepared planks. If he doesn't have prepared planks, so he said he cannot use an oven. He cannot fashion an oven in that case under those circumstances. There's the Panakama says, so long as the mace is there, you can chop down a tree and start making planks too.
And
you can do even a tertiary there.
And today you can walk in a lumber store and take planks, whatever.
My kushin. So the Gemara asks, what's kushin? So my product, what's kushin? I'm going to be hold on. Kushin the chapida. Kushin is where they would dig. So there's three types of burial. There was the ordinary burial was they would dig a hole in the ground and put the person in the ground. What we do today.
Nice.
Then there's the type of burial of kuchen. Kuchen was they would dig into the ground or into a rock and they would dig shells. They would fashion shells. So you even hear it like the time kuchen. Here's a book.
You don't have
the shell, you'll see you go into caves and they have shells. Underground. It's sort of like an underground mausoleum.
This is viewed from the top.
You're viewing it from the top. You're like walking in underground over
right
here. See, so you can walk in, and it can be an entire family. So the parents and the children and whatever can be all buried all around. But here is the entrance. So you have this kuchen of the small side there. Kuchen b'chafida b'kvaris b'vim. Kvaris is where you put a building over an oil over the nest. The Tanya Nami Hoshi, we learned also a Bryce was saying the same thing. So we said that's what it means. But now we find a Bryce that actually says that Elohim Kuchin the Elohim Fari. These are what are Kuchin are these are what Kvaris say. Kuchin the Khafira, Kuchin is
Kvaris is Al Gabi Karka.
Kvaris is a building on top of the
Tanya. Yeah.
Exactly where the maze is the Gemara doesn't say. But just that there's a building over the
like the Alta River. There's a
So he said, you cannot build kuchin or dig kuchin and build the kvaris on Chol HaMoed. But you can be mechanech kuchin. What does it mean, mechanech? He's a mechanech. What does it mean when we say mechanech? If the kuch was too long, then the contrary, you can fill it in. That you can make it larger and wider. So obviously you can make it smaller, because smaller is easy labor, you just fill in dirt. But we're saying not only that, you can do more intensive labor, mechanchen means you can make it even longer if it's not long enough, or you can widen it if it's not wide enough to put in the body. So that you can do on Chol HaMoed. Now, obviously here, the point of all of this is, we're not going to say that if somebody dies, you shouldn't bury the person. Chol HaMoed. You say, either you see, you can't dig the kuchen kvaris until alive. What happens if somebody dies? What are you going to do? So, in that instance, what you have to do is just bury in an ordinary burial plot.
But you're still digging.
There, you're allowed to, we say, you're allowed to do a tircha or a mace on chalamoy. You can do a tircha on chalamoy. The question is, can you do tircha, you say it of unnecessary? So, you don't have to bury in a kushin. You have to bury in the kushin. You have to bury in the kushin. You bury in a regular fallen ground. Others say that, you know, that the, here is talking about. Is talking about to prepare just generally for the public need for when it will be needed and it shouldn't be needed, but in the future. Digging for a specific person on Cholamoy, then it would be more. So we have the two opinions because we had this question early on in the Mishnah, what this is talking about. Are we talking about cooking the Kvadis, or talking about for a need, or talking about cooking the Kvadis, where you're just building it for no need.
Right. In other words, you're allowed, if you have an area, you're allowed to bring one cook.
But so if you had no cook, you had nothing. You want to now, have somebody dies. Are you allowed to make cooking? Yes. So one thing is yes, so one thing is say
one
no.
Cook.
Yeah, but are you allowed to do, are you allowed to make cooking? Cooking is difficult to make. You have to make a whole entrance way, and then you have to make a hole.
Side hole.
So it says, are you allowed to do that? I can't wait to defend. How do you understand the mission? But my nivrechet, what is nivrechet? It's a pool. But Tanya, the Gemara asks, how can you say that nivrechet is a bakia? But Tanya, nivrechet is a bakia. We learn in a braisa where it says, ha nivrechet, vaha bakia. So nivrechet is not a bakia because it's why it's called. Amar Abaya, the same Rav Kana. So Abaya said, or maybe it was Rav Kana who said, gia ubarakia. That it means a big pool and a subsidiary pool. So they would have sometimes like a big pool that would have the fresh water, and then they would let off a little on a side pool, and they would let the water run into it. So one is a bakia, one is a nevrech. So bakia is a pool. Bakia is a pool, and a nevrech is a pool. One is a large one, and one is a small one. The smaller subsidiary one. The other name is mace, and an other if the mace is there, the chatzar in the courtyard. So provided that the mace is there to show the purpose of the construction, you can then, according to the Tanakhama, make an arin even from lumber. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have the boards prepared, then you can assemble it together. We learned, like the Chacham said, Eisin called Tzurchei Ameis. You can do all the things that for a mace. Gleizim, Rizare, you can share a shave your head. The hero also said, Mechapsim, like Susa, you can wash its clothes. Apparently, the Apanas were people for Tshuva who would put on the Tachichim, and so sometimes get soiled, and so when the person dies, they have to launder the tachrichim before they can put it on. So it's in the arid, in the salon, and the sarid, and you can make a arim from boards that were ready prepared for Merv Yomtev, and Rav Shemir Eliel, and Rav Shemir Eliel says, Achmi Vien Eitzim, you can even bring raw lumber and manasram and turn them into planks, the tina, to say chesay. In his house, tina means quietly without making ganache,
that's on the
public view. So we have in the Mishnah, said you can do it even in the chaser according to the Tanakh.
Yeah.
So there are two opinions here. Some say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is being more machmir than the Tanakhama, and some are saying that Rav Shimon Gamliel is qualifying the Tanakhama. That when the Tanakhama said that you're allowed to make a arun in the chaser, and Rabbi Huda said, you know, I want to make it from raw wood. So Rabbi Huda says that under all circumstances, you can't do it. You can't take the raw wood and bring it into your house and turn it into a fire. Shimon Gamliel says that when are you allowed to assemble a arim in a chatzar next to that person, is that necessarily when you're just assembling the boards, like if you're
turning raw lumber into boards first, then you would have to do it in your house. And others say that no, Rav Shmuel was arguing with the Tanakhama, and the Tanakhama says you can do it all in your house.
Etzim and
And so you have, so in that under that understanding, there are three opinions. There's Rav Yehuda who says you can never not. You can't start turning the lumber into boards. Then you have the kind of comments that you could turn lumber into boards and could do it in your cluster. Then there's the intermediate position of Shinogamila says you can turn lumber into boards, you have to do it in your house, not at all. And others say that no, Rav Shimon ben Leo is qualifying the Tanakhama and saying that the Tanakhama is saying that you can turn boards into an aron in the chatzer, but you would have to turn the lumber and you would have to turn the raw wood into the board in your house. So there's two opinions of whether Rav Shimon ben Leo is arguing with the Tanakhama or he's qualifying. One is not allowed to get married to a woman on Kalamoyed. Lay the Sulis, not a Sula, not a virgin, but lay Almanis, and not a widow. But Miyavni, and he can't be Miyavni. Can't be if someone, Reuven, brother Shimon, died without having children, so Reuven can be Miyavni, can marry the widow of his deceased brother. Normally, the person's not allowed to marry his sister-in-law, even if his brother divorces his sister-in-law, he's not allowed to marry her. But if he dies without children, so then there's the mitzvah of Yibum. So this is a type of a chasma, the opposite, marrying your sister-in-law. So the lady Yam can't do Yibum on Chalamoy, and Nesha Simchi, because it's a Simcha. The Gemara is going to ask, what does it mean? Simcha, of course, it's supposed to be happy on Chalamoy, so what's the problem? So then we learn, but he could remarry his divorcee. He can't marry a Gerusha, but he can marry his Gerusha. So he was married to a woman, and he got divorced, and then I have to remarry her. No big simcha there. That's what he's getting into. They married. No surprises.
Hopefully.
So, Machlis Gerushata, there's no great simcha. He can get married on Chalamoy. But Oysa Isha Pashisaha B'moyeh. And a woman can prepare her.
So what would be the problem if there was Simcha?
We're going to find out.
He wants to add Simcha. So
the Gemara is going to talk about it. Oysa Isha Pashisaha B'moyeh. The woman can prepare her clothing for the Chasana on Chalamoy. So you're the Amar of the Chasana that Nei Shemira Gullah. She should not put plaster on her face to remove the bodily tears. Because at the time, at that moment, while she has this plume on her face, she's not looking her prettiest.
So does that imply she can evade herself with that cream? Pull the hair out? You don't know.
Perhaps. A headless taser kedarki. Remember, we mentioned yesterday about there are differences between Maisa Umman and Maisa Hes. Uh-huh. So if a lay person is not a favor, and so in his usual manner, because at the end of the day, it isn't going to be a professional job. Well, Umman, but the professional machleb, he has to do a ladder type of lay stitching.
And that's
one
a
that
piece
looks
of...
like a machleb. That's not a person. The machleb is that it's not going to be professional. Going to be a temporary thing, and we do it after. Machlif means like a kelev, like canine beef. So the change is big bad. And the sargin is amitis, and you can be misarig, you can weave weaving into a bed. So you have a cot, like some of the army cots you have, or like the lounge chairs.
Right.
So you want to put the weaving in. So misargin is amitis. And you can even start with the Rav Yosef.
Not
Ahmer, Nimatkin, that you can only tighten the weaving. You can't actually
put, you cannot put the reading in the first instance on Hollow White.
No,
you can fight. So the Gemara says, now the question that we ask, what's the problem? How am I supposed to be the same?
That's why I'm asking.
I'm going to be Yehudah Rishmol, so Yehudah Rishmol said, and I'm Reb Lezer, I'm Reb Eishi, so also said Reb Lezer in the name of Reb Eishi, and some say that I'm Reb Lezer, I'm Reb Chanina, that Reb Lezer said also in the name of Reb Chanina, that Yishei Yemar, and that's the rule, that you can't be Ma'arif one Simcha with another Simcha. That's the general rule that we find all over. You can't make two Brisim at the same time. For example, we have a twin, twin boys, and they can have a Brisim on the same day. So you have the wash, you have the suda, you have the nila, you bench, you say harachamon, you after the benching, you walk it up, you walk around, you sit back, you make the frisk, you do the next suda. You can't have two sinners in the same time. So some days, because of the rule of in you don't make one mitzvah part of another mitzvah. That's just mixing simchas, it's just making the chavilah and chavilah. You don't do two mitzvahs like the same.
What do you mean, chavilah, chavilah?
Chavilah is bundles. You don't bundle mitzvahs together, because then it takes away from the beauty of each one. Right. So you separate out the mitzvahs. So one opinion is because it's a marvin simchas simcha. Rav bar Ravuna, Omar Ramesha Menich simchas herekel. Because he is forsaking the simcha of the rega, or is it the simcha of Tishrei, and he is being in, he's being involved and busy with rejoicing with his wife. And we're going to learn pasuk. Amalei Abaya Rav Yisef, Abaya said to Rav Yisef, Hada Rav Barabuna, who the Amar of Daniel Bar Katina. This is that he said the same as Rav Daniel Bar Katina said. Amar Rav in the name of Rav. Nayin She'ein. How do we know that a person shouldn't marry a woman on Chalamayit Shemar? It's a positive with the Machta B'chagecha. B'chagecha, the lady is Shemar. You should rejoice with the Chag and not with your wife. So we see that it's because it's going to be that we're afraid that he's going to forsake the Chag and he's going to be only involved with his wife. So anyway, we have an idea to that opinion over the opinion that it's Amar and Simcha.
We have a riot at what?
So we have an opinion that concurs with the opinion of that it's, that we're afraid that he's going to forsake his chag, and he's going to be involved only with his wife. We have a different opinion that's because of Imar Simcha. Now we have other reasons. Well, the reason is because of the Sircha. Making a chasna is a big bother. And if he's going to, and no one to have bother on Kolomoy. Yitzchak Nafta says, it's made the full pity of an idiot. And the problem is that you're going to be a vassal having children. What's going to happen is, here's the problem. The problem is like this. During the week of Shabbat, brachas can't work. So the guy has a job, and he comes to his boss, and he says to his boss, hey, boss, I want to get married. When they're married, okay, good luck, congratulations. Well, I'm going to have to take off a week of work. I'm not going to get 1 week of vacation. All right, you know what, I'll push off the wedding, so fuck it. So the day after he gets engaged, and now he says, you know what, I'm not going to get married until Cholomoy took it. Because then I'll come to bridge one stone. I can't work it because it's Cholomoy. And so push it off. So he says, no, he can't marry on Cholomoy. Now he has to take up a week regardless. So no matter what you're going to do, when you're going to get married, you're going to have to take up a week. So why wait till Tishrei? You'll get married in year, seven, whatever. You'll get married sooner than later. So the nation of that will differentiate in the year because in that case, they're going to be pushing off the wedding, delaying off, they're going to be delaying having children. So because of that, we said you can't get married in a Chol HaMoed so that people shouldn't say, you know what, I'll push off the wedding until
Yom
Tov. He would say,
let's on Pesach, he's going to push it off the soup.
He gets engaged the day after Pesach.
Right.
Now he's going to say, when are we going to get married? And then get married, suck it. So he's going to push off the wedding for 6 months.
You can't get married on Holy Wednesday. It's all right, get married next week, you know.
Right.
And married on like Friday.
I know.
And maybe it's the pretty of it anyway. They say, so we learn, we learn something that's going to throw a question onto all of these opinions. All these that are forbidden to get married on Chol HaMoed, So we said, whoever is not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed is allowed to get married on
Erev Yom Tov.
So now, this casts out on everybody's opinion. How should they prove it? That's everybody's question. Why? Because the first person is, what did he say? He said, because of Amar and Simchah B'Simcha, but when are you going to have the Shavuot Brachos?
On
Chol HaMoed. Right. Is Mar going to be Mar and Simchah B'Simcha?
Right.
One says it may because he's going to be busy with his wife. So he's doing Shabbat Brachos and he's busy with his wife. He's not going to be perfectly young. According to the one who says because it's a Tayyidah, he has to prepare the Shabbat Brachos. According to the one that says that it's a day, little pity of his idea, you tell him that he can get married out of Yom Tov, so he says, fine, so I'll take off one day of work, and then I'll have
a period of leave.
So he gets engaged on the day after Pesach, and he says, I'm going to push it off to Erev, I'll get married Erev Sukkot. So all these things, if any of these four answers are of real concern, then we should forbid getting married on Erev Yom Tov as well. The Gemara says, Kash Mekuba, the question on everyone's opinions. It says, like Kash, no question on anyone's opinion. The Gemara says, the story, the one that says, Kadein Marvin, the first. After the first day, Shabbat Brachos, but the person on the second day of Shabbat Brachos is not as happy as the other day of his wedding. So the Simcha, that doesn't share the Simcha some way. If he's still in the Haaretz. I'm sorry?
In the absolute, you're still doing Arigat Shabbat.
No. The point is that you're not getting married that day, so the main Arigat Simcha of the Simcha is that this Simcha should be separate from that Simcha, but the main Simcha was by the Chatzah. And now it's already just Shabbat. Shabbat is the people are not the same as they are in the Chatzah. That's the good thing, the musicians is great, and Shabbat is a little bit more muted. It's not to the same extent. The Chatzah, Malam Rav Shom Tercha, because of Tercha, it's your Tercha Chatzah, and the main Tercha is, again, one day. You have to spend $30,000, $40,000, $1,000, $3,000. It's far less than the preparation than the wedding. The one that's got a bit of pity of it. The Chan Yehna Loi Mashi Inish Nafshe. But one, to save one day, the person is not going to
Mavakal.
The aim are the Simcha B'Simcha. Not to be Ma'ar of Simcha
B'Simcha. What do we take that from?
How do you know that you're not, that you can't? So, this we can learn. Oh, I'm sorry. I misstated. Not that the person is not going to wait one for one. You certainly. The question here is the most difficult one to answer is this question of being about the 30 of it. Because if he gets married, Erev Sukkot. So. He has to take off only one day at work, and then the rest of the Shema Brachas are going to be on Yom Tov. So why wouldn't he push it off both days?
comes to the boss, and the boss says, I don't want to give you off the food. It's all right, I'll push it off till Erev Sukkot. I'll take off Erev Sukkot. He's early on Erev Sukkot anyway, so I'm taking off an extra half a day that I wouldn't ordinarily be taking off. So, and I'll get married at Erev Sukkot.
Right.
The problem is, that the Gemara answers that here's the problem. The problem is that if you would allow to get married at Erev Sukkot, guess what would happen? You took all the wedding calls. They'd be booked solid about 5 years before.
Yeah.
Okay. So no one would say, you know what, I'm going to push it off at Erev Sukkot because you're not getting married at Erev Sukkot, okay? It's like trying to book a hall on my primary. You're not getting a hall on my primary. So nobody's going to get, no one's going to push off a wedding in the anticipation of getting married at Erev Sukkot or Erev Sukkot. That's what the Gemara is answering. We're not concerned about that because this is not going to push it off. Because you can't get married Chol Hamoed, so, and you can't get married Yom Tov, so that leaves just one day, and so for that one day, people are not going to, or 2 days, you know, for those 2 days, people are not going to push everything off. Because so, if you know, but the likelihood is that the wedding calls will both stop.
So you can get married.
So the Chachamim, in fact, you can't get married on Erev Sukkot because we're not afraid that the person is going to push off the wedding for Erev Sukkot because people are only booking the whole Erev Sukkot. So
I gotta do it now.
So he's saying that I'm not gonna wait all the time. The chance of an election get married then is so slim. I love those guys right now.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 8:30.
Sure.